Hi, this is Dr. Fred. Thanks so much for joining me today on another episode of Study, Grow, Know. We are covering Daniel 11, verse 38. Thanks again for joining me.
Welcome to Study, Grow, Know, where we discuss theology, prophecy, and current political issues from a conservative biblical perspective. Here's your host, Dr. Fred DeRuvo.
Hi, and thank you so much again for joining me, taking the time out of your day to study Daniel 11 with me. We are in part 16 of this installment of this series, and we've got a few more to go. We're going to be ending with installment 19 coming up soon. But in this particular one, I want to kind of refresh our minds as to what we covered last time, because in last time we went up to Daniel 11, verse 37. And just to refresh our memories, let's look at the verse again. The verse says, "He will show no regard for the gods of his fathers or for the desire of women, nor will he show regard for any other god, for he will magnify himself above them all." That was Daniel 11:37. We took that apart and we noted that he will not fall into worshiping the same gods that his fathers or ancestors worshiped. And I find that interesting. Also interesting is the fact that he will have no desire of women, which could mean one of several things. It could mean that women don't desire him, or he doesn't desire women. Now, chances are great, in my view, in my opinion, and from what I've read from other conservative scholars, that it's the second point that applies to Antichrist. As we noted last time, either Antichrist is going to be gay and will not care for women at all, or he will be like a eunuch, maybe not physically, but certainly sexually. He will have better things on his mind. And in either case, he won't be attracted to women. He'll have no need for them. He has a higher calling. Now, if we consider how quickly same-sex unions have taken the world by storm, even now in America, I think it's safe to say that while we know that Satan has been the one pushing for the change in the fabric of global society, we've got to ask, why has he been doing this? Was it simply or solely because same-sex unions are so diametrically opposed to God's plan for the family unit, for his creation? Well, certainly I think that that's part of it, but I also think that there's much more to it than that. If the coming Antichrist is gay, then he will also likely rise to become the ruler of global governance as an outed gay man. Now think about that for a minute. In order for that to happen, much of the world would need to see that, and they would need to be excited about it, at least outwardly. Imagine the crowds of gays and lesbians and their supporters who will fully believe that their time has come. And the epitome of that is seen in this new, quite charismatic leader of the world. Think about that. If the Antichrist arrived to the scene maybe 20 years ago, that part of him would almost still need to be kept in the closet, but not anymore. In this day and age, being gay is something that homosexuals wear as a badge of honor, and they wear it quite visibly. They're proud of it, though no one ever gets to have a parade where they evidence being proud of their straightness, their heterosexuality. Gay pride is something that Satan has created and built so that all things will come together when his spiritual son, the Antichrist, takes up position of rule over the coming one-world global system. I think it's very plausible that the reason Antichrist will have no desire for women is due to the fact that he will be gay. And as noted in our last installment, since women can often be a distraction to powerful men, Satan won't want any of that to be in the way, which might create the opportunity for Antichrist to fail. Satan is going to need Antichrist to be as supernaturally focused as possible, 24/7. Now, it's also very interesting to know that there have been consistent rumors that within the practices of the elite, pedophilia is often part of the picture. There are a number of websites that have categorized and cataloged things of that nature. Anyone who has studied anything about the elite and their connection to Satanism knows that sexual liaisons often man to boy, etc., are always part of the paradigm. But let's move on before things start getting awkward and sickening here, right? We've laid the basics. We've given the idea, and I think supported it somewhat, that there's a good indication that Antichrist will be gay. But whatever the case, he is not going to have need of women. Now, here's a few thoughts I'll leave you with regarding this from Dr. Thomas Constable on his notes from Daniel. He says this: the identity of the desire of women is also problematic. It may be a reference to the Messiah, supposedly the supreme desire of every godly Jewish woman in Daniel's day was that she bear the Messiah. Another view is the reference to Tammuz, Greek for Adonis. It was a pagan goddess in Daniel's day that women found very attractive. Others believe that the meaning is that this king will have no desire for women. Some even speculate that he will be abusive toward women. In other words, he will be devoid of natural affection. And then Thomas Constable goes on to say, quote, "I tend to favor this third view," unquote. Now, verse 38 of Daniel 11 is a bit difficult to comprehend, which is all the more reason to look at it and unpack it if we can. It's very important. Let's look at it. Quote, "But instead, he will honor a god of fortresses, a god whom his fathers did not know. He will honor him with gold, silver, costly stones, and treasures," unquote. Now, again, I'm going to defer to Constable here, who states the following, quote, "What this king will really trust in is a god, quote unquote, who he believes can give him military success. Evidently, this is not a god in the religious sense. He will probably idolize power. His forefathers typically acknowledge some supreme being or some pagan god or gods, but he will honor his god by spending money to build his military arsenal. In other words, he, Antichrist, will be a materialist," unquote. Now, we know from ancient history, from what we've already discussed in our previous installments of this series, that people like Antiochus Epiphanes IV, along with many others, all had their patron gods. They worshipped them, and for some, even thought themselves equal to them. Now, in nearly all cases, these individuals deferred to these deities to help them gain an advantage over their adversaries. The fact that Antichrist will be so filled with all of Satan's power will cause him to feel that he needs no other god, since he sets himself up as God, according to Paul in 2 Thessalonians 2. The amount of blaspheming comments directed toward the God of all creation from this man of sin is telling. He will very likely and literally come to see himself as a god who is above the God who created all things. And because of this, Antichrist will place his faith in himself and the armies that he will amass. In effect, as Revelation discloses, the Antichrist will, toward the very end of the tribulation at Armageddon, he will lead nearly all the troops in battle, the world's troops in battle, against the returning Lord Jesus. Now, think about that, and think about the arrogance one must have and possess to believe that they're going to stop Jesus from physically returning. Now, if Antichrist honors the God, quote-unquote, of fortresses, we can think of this and interpret it as maybe putting his faith in military might, then clearly Antichrist will honor that particular God with gold, silver, etc., because it's going to take great financial resources to create such an army. And I think it's helpful to understand the main reason Antichrist comes to the top of the heap and becomes ruler of the coming one-world governmental system. As we've mentioned, I believe he does so because this will essentially be the main point at which Satan will have opportunity to fulfill his promises of Isaiah 14, listed as his five I will statements and ending in, quote, "I will be like the Most High," unquote. To get to this point, Satan must control nearly all aspects of society globally in order to be able to install his spiritual son, Antichrist, as king. Now, currently, I believe Satan has been working in a fevered pitch to gain that control through the global elite, of whom Satan has given tremendous wealth and resultant power in exchange for their dedication and worship of him, Satan. Little do they realize that they are merely being used, and once the right moment comes, Antichrist will simply climb over the elite, kill 3 of the 10 who have self-appointed themselves king of the world, confer Daniel 7:24 on that, and the remaining 7 will bow to Antichrist. Everything that has been happening in the world since the fall of humanity has been to push Satan's goals to overcome, overthrow, and replace God Almighty. God has allowed Satan to do what he will in many cases, and I find that fascinating. There must be a reason for that. During the coming time of tribulation, Satan, through Antichrist, will have virtually the run of the entire globe and command all military forces. Isn't it amazing to consider that just about everything Satan has been attempting to accomplish since God meted out punishment in Genesis 3, the fall, it has been done with this one goal in mind, to become what he was never created to be, the God of the universe. And if you stop to consider how ridiculous that hope of his is, but that's what pride will do. That's what hubris, arrogance will accomplish. This is what it's all about. This is what it's all about. Satan's dream, his promise to himself in Isaiah 14:12-17, to become like the Most High. Thanks for joining me today. We will pick this up next time with more from Daniel 11, and I hope you'll join me then. But until then, I pray that God will open your eyes to show you how blessed you are in him.
You've been listening to Study, Grow, Know with Dr. Fred DeRuvo. Please join us each week for new broadcasts that deal with theology, prophecy, and political issues from a biblical, conservative perspective.